阅读、科技、旅行，
生活可以很大，对话设计、学习，思考不嫌太多。这里是 iTunes 获奖播客《狗熊有话说》，一听就停不下来的哦。
All right, The Design of Everyday Things, one of the books that every designer should read. The Bible for product designers, product managers, and UX designers. This book stays on my reading list for so long, and I finally finished it recently. So in this video, I'm going to share of what I've learned from this book. Check this out.It took me so long to finish this book because it was so hard to read. There are too many concepts and also too much information to process. This book I found is quite similar as another hard reading book, which I finished a few years ago, Out of Control by Kevin Kelly. Both these two books contains a lot of complex concepts and informations which need longer time to process, to digest. And also, both these two books were published in the 90s, last century, but still so popular after published for 30 years. Both these two books were written not in a specific order, so you can pick any chapters and go for it. And also, both two authors, they believe that technology can change people's behavior and also people's culture. But all of them have some optimism attitude about our future, and they believe technology and design can make our life become better. Only good design and good technology. Okay, and one thing at last, both these two authors are white men with white beard. Yep. Sorry, Mr. Norman and Mr. Kelly, just a joke. All right, so what is this book is talking about?In Design of Everyday Things, Mr. Norman introduces product design in four aspects. How do products interact with users or with people? And how do people do things? Design thinking and also the relationship of design and business. Let's take it one by one. Product interact with user through seven touch points: affordance, signifier, constraint, mapping, feedback, conceptual model. Okay, let's go through them one by one. So what is affordance? Affordance is the functionality of a product. For example, a door has the affordance to push and pull. So it's notsomething that you can actually do, but it's just the functionality of a product. Signifier, this is something easier to understand rather than affordance. It's something that can inform users about the product's functionality. For example, the door offers the functionality to push and pull, and the sign on the door can show you, okay, this door allowed you to push.Constraints are something you use as a designer to force the desired user's behaviors. For example, if you try to decrease the possibility that users run to the basement during the emergency situation, you can put a fence at the entrance of the basement so that during the emergency situation they just don't go there. All right. Mapping is the analogical relationship between the controls and the devices being controlled. For example, the switch button on the oven, the position for the switch button or always relate the actual position of the oven plate. That's a good design. The bad design is that the position of the switch is different from the actual position of the plate. That will occur some confusion from users. Feedback is something that a product or service or something else or a person gives to another person. And if there's too little feedback, people will not notice that. If there are too much feedback, people will feel annoying or distracted. Conceptual model is something that can relate the relationship between the controls and the devices being controlled. For example, if we switch the adjusting button on the refrigerator, on the freezer, so you will see, okay, the temperature in the fridge is adjustable and it can show from the switch button. Yeah, so these are all the things you need to know. And second, people have 7 stages of doing things, which means interact with the world. There are also 7 stages, like go, plan, specify, perform, perceive, interpret, and compare. Alright, what's that? Let's explain those concepts in plain English. So the goal is, what do I want to accomplish? For example, I want to read, but it's getting dimmer here, so I can't read. My goal is to read. And the second is plan. So what are the alternatives, which means what are the options you can choose? I can turn on the light myself or ask someone to do it for me. Or just go outside, in the daylight to read, things like that. So the third is specify. Specify is, what can I do? Is be clear about your next step. So take me for example, if I want to read and then I found the option is to turn on the light, and I decide to turn on the light myself because it is easier. The fourth, perform, is how do I do it? So I just turn on the light. So then perceive is what happened. If you turn on the light is on. Okay, so that's what happened. And next, interpret. So is what does it mean? So you see the light is on and you know that, okay, it means I can read. And the final stage, compare, is it okay? Like, is it, this is a good situation, which means I can read. All right, so this is the something seems quite ordinary, quite not normal in our daily life, and we don't actually take analyze about it. But if you think carefully about some behaviors, some steps, some decision you make during your daily life, it could be divided in these stages. And as a designer, is to think about each step intensely, with intention, and then try to make it fulfill what the users want, what the users need, just fulfill it. All right, so this is the second part, the 7 stages when people actually doing things. So a good designer use these 7 stages of actions to consider every step of the user's action and to construct user's scenarios. Mr. Norman talked about design thinking, which is something not related specifically about design, but it's about thinking. It's about how we make a better problem statement and make sure we are solving the right problem, right? So this is about design thinking. So designers can use double diamond model to find out the right problem and the solution, and use human-centered design to iterate the discussion iteration and discussion of the design about the design process. Yeah, but this topic is something that we'll definitely go through it later in some other videos. All right, so the last one is the design and business. So a designer should not only need to think about design, affordance, signifier, things like that, or the element on the screen, or actually the actual feature of the product, how it works, but also need to think about the price, the quality, the features, the speed, and the marketing acceptance. This element also we need to think about that too. So design is successful only if the final product is successful. So if people buy it, if people use it, and if they enjoy it, this means it's a good design. But if you actually do something you think it is great and nobody buys it, nobody use it, so nobody says anything about it, that's not a good design. That's a failure. So if you don't understand the principle of the business or how to implement some design concept to the real product, you are not a good designer. So which means that as a designer, it's not enough to understand design and technology, but also you need to understand business. So some other great options that I found quite helpful also from this book. The first one is there's no human errors. So all problems are technology and design problems. So don't blame on people who don't use your product properly. Use it as a signifier to find out what could be improved. So designers should focus on the attention, the attention on things that go wrong, not when the things go right. So this is something like a mindset for us. It's always good to find something not works right and improve it. So that's our job. And also don't blame on actual users. Some people think users are dumb, users are not smart as you as an engineer or as a designer. That's not fair, because just because you are in this field and you have more understanding about what you are working on, and the context and scenario is different as a normal user. So just think about that. And this is one thing I learned from this book also, quite helpful, quite useful. And the second is to do timeless design. How to say that is technology changes. We know that, change it rapidly, but people don't. So human beings have always been social beings. Social interaction and the ability to keep in touch with people across the world, across time, will stay with us. So technology changed the way we do things, but fundamental needs remains unchanged. So if you are a designer or if you are an engineer, maybe it's good to invest some energy and time to learn something that doesn't change, like how to interact with actual people and what's the people's need, some psychological needs or things like that, or business. Yeah, so things like that is really, really good thing to invest, because that's a timeless field. But like technology or the way we solve the problem could be improved by technology or could be changed rapidly by technology. Don't worry about it too much. Just focus on something that doesn't change. All right, so this is what I've learned from this book. Actually, I've learned much more from this book, but this is so much for a video to share. And again, I know this is a book really hard to read, but if you are a designer, or if you want to do something about design, if you want to learn design, this is a book that I think you must read. And after reading that, your understanding about design, about the principle of design, will reach to another level. Alright, thank you very much for watching this video, and I hope you like it. If you like it, just hit the subscription button below and stay tuned for more content about design, book review, good books, or personal improvement. I'm Bear. I will see you in the next video. Bye.